You are listening to the News Project in Studio, brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome to another edition of GNAT TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director here at GNAT TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Today's Wednesday, April 17th, and it's also a pleasure to be joined here in the studio by two folks who have started a running business, I guess one could say, Northeast Trail Runs. We're happy to have with us today Eliza Hamm and Adam Shalit, who launched the business back in 2017 and have announced a series of running events coming up for later this year. So I want to hear from them a little bit about that and how they got into the business in the first place, and maybe that's a good place to start. Tell us a little bit about how you started Northeast Trail Runs. Well, there must be an interesting background story to all of that.
Yeah, well, we actually met when we were living out west. I'm from California originally. Adam grew up in Dorset, but had moved out west, and we met out there and got into running trails and also volunteering at a lot of races. And we really loved the trail community that there was out there. But when Adam took me back here to visit his family, I just immediately fell in love with the terrain of Vermont. And so we moved back here, and there are a lot of people, as you know yourself, actually, who run on the trails around here and the roads. It's such a beautiful outdoors place to recreate, but there are not as many foot races. So we thought that there was an opening to bring more people out in an organized way and also bring more tourism to the area for running specifically.
Okay. So you folks do a mix of different events, not just trail runs. So I see snowshoe events, which I've never done, so you have to tell me about what that's like, and ultra marathons, so like 50-mile-long events, which, again, I've never run and can't have a hard time wrapping my head around that. So how do you decide the mix of those events? Is it just sort of driven by the calendar or kind of what else is going on? But how do you decide we're going to do so many of these and so many of that?
I think our motto is any runner, any distance, and we try to keep to that. And so our feeling is that running is one thing, that it's not the 1 mile race and the 5K and the marathon as kind of separate and you know never to meet. We see it all as running is running, and we want to offer kind of any opportunity for any walker, runner, any pace, any surface. We want them to be able to get out there and just get moving.
Doing a long run, like an ultra marathon, I would think is more of an organizational challenge than perhaps some of the shorter ones. Is that true, or am I just sort of imagining something here?
Yeah, there are definitely more moving pieces the longer the event gets. We have a couple of 50-kilometer races, one in Dorset and one in Norwich, that, once you're covering more ground, of course, there's just more. You have to have more aid stations and more people out on the course helping out. And we also have a few what are called fixed time races where people have a certain number of hours to go as far as they can around a short loop. We have one at the track at Mount Anthony and then one up at BB Farm where the Vermont Summer Festival is. And those actually, our longest one is 48 hours. So the logistics are in some ways easier because it's all contained on the farm. So we don't have to worry about people running out into the woods. Covering a lot of distance, but definitely when people are running and walking for 48 hours, you need to have a lot of food and places for them to take a rest and change their clothes. So there are a lot of logistics when people are out there for that long.
So they're running for 48 hours continuously?
That's the goal. People definitely stop to eat. They might stop to stretch or take a 1 hour nap is common in a 48 hour event. And there are folks who might use it to get to a certain milestone. For instance, if you are a walker and you're just trying to get to a half marathon or full marathon, we give you 48 hours to do it. So as long as you're able to cover that ground during that period, that's your race. And so they're known as go as you please races. And so you're able to just, go out on the track, make as many laps as you can and get as far as you can. And you stop at your leisure. If you want to take a 5 hour break, have at it.
Okay. I had this vision of people having to continuously be in motion for 2 days. And I'm thinking, that's not possible. The human body is not designed for that sort of thing. I wouldn't have thought, but well, then maybe it is.
You would be amazed at what people can accomplish. And actually, fixed time races have a long history of what started out as pedestrian racing. Back in the 1800s, people would walk for 24 hours or even several days, and there would be huge crowds coming and placing bets on them. It was actually a really competitive and exciting sport.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Tell us about some of the races you have on your calendar. I mean, there's a couple coming up in Dorset in August, but you also have that Ethan Allen 2024.
Yeah.
What are some of the events that folks who are watching might want to say, wow, I want to do that?
So the Ethan Allen 24 is our first one on the calendar, as you mentioned, and that's coming up in July. And that's on the track at Mount Anthony High School in Bennington. And basically what happens is, as with the other fixed time races, you've got 6, 12, or 24 hours to go as far as you please. And we've got an aid station, which is never farther than 400 meters away from you, which is a great virtue of being on the track.
Very important.
Very, very key, especially with all the popsicles and warm weather offerings we've got. Yeah. It's a fully lit circuit, so folks don't have to use a headlamp. And during July, being a warmer month, we do offer a nighttime start for the 12-hour race. So that offers the cooler temperatures throughout the evening. And basically, we've got great aid stations out there, really fun swag. There's great music on the track the whole time. And it's a really social atmosphere. So that's one that I think people might not know that they're into. But, I think if you come out to the track and take a look, you'll be surprised.
You'll get hooked, huh? All right. And then there's a series of events in Dorset, I guess.
Yeah. At the end of August, we have what we call the Dorset Running Festival, which is 3 days of races ranging from 1 mile all the way up to 50 kilometers. So there's really something for everyone. We're going to be rolling out a new race on the Friday evening this year, which will be a 1 mile uphill race. We put it to a vote on our Facebook page and let people choose uphill or downhill. I thought everyone was going to go for downhill, but yeah. 75% of the respondents went for uphill.
Oh, okay.
So the people have spoken. We'll have an uphill race on Friday, and then on Saturday we have our Lost Cat race, which starts at the town offices in East Dorset. And there's a road to trail race, so it goes over some of the beautiful roads in Dorset, Mad Tom Road and others, and then up onto the trails in Emerald Lake State Park and above it. And really kind of a really fun course that explores all of Dorset. We have a half marathon, marathon, 50K options. And then on Sunday, we have the Dorset Hollow Road Race, which is a 5K and 10K that covers the loop in Dorset Hollow. The 10K does the whole loop, and the 5K is a point-to-point. And actually, being the second half of the loop, it is a big net downhill. So if anyone is looking for... there are still some uphills, but if anyone's looking to maybe have a nice course for a 5K PR... I would definitely recommend they check out Dorset Hollow Road Race 5K.
And they can find out more about some of the details of this, I guess, on your website and the Facebook page?
Yeah. Yep. All of the info is on our website and our Facebook page.
So how does one market races like this? How do you get the word out? Is it all mostly social media at this point, or are there other tools that you have in the arsenal for that sort of thing?
Social media is definitely a big one. A lot of people find out about races through social media. Especially people who don't live in this area. Around here we put up posters, flyers in outdoor stores, really try to get the word out in the community face-to-face as much as possible. But we also want to bring folks in, who are making more of a destination of it. So social media is great for that. And we also advertise in some running publications. We're doing a campaign in Ultra Running Magazine right now and really just trying to get the word out to people. We had people come from as far away as California and Germany last year to run our races. So we definitely want to be reaching folks who don't live locally and who do come to Vermont, just as a vacation destination.
Mm. I've often wondered, as I've run in a few races myself, what goes the whole behind the scenes aspect to it. I mean, some of these go off so flawlessly and smoothly and you think, wow, I guess it isn't so hard to do these. But did have an opportunity to work on a couple of other races from the inside and really there's an enormous amount of work that goes on. Road security, timers, the music, all that kind of stuff that probably a lot of folks don't even really think about.
And I think that's our goal, is that you shouldn't have to think about it as a runner. We really hope that you could show up and, be essentially carefree and only have to worry about your race and the time on your watch or your experience of just being out there. And so those things that are kind of best unseen in that sense, there's a tremendous amount that goes into making sure that when you want a porta potty to be on the course, there it is. And that, you can see it, where it is, there are enough of them.
Right.
It's the little things are pretty crucial.
Absolutely.
So... But yeah, I think we try to offer all those kind of amenities in a way that just increases the runner's experience, so they have a better time out there.
Mm-hmm. So I just wondered, do you get a lot of help from, let's say, the state of Vermont or other business organizations? As you mentioned, your events bring in folks from out of state and they come here for a weekend or whatever. Presumably they're going out to eat someplace or they're staying in somebody's bed and breakfast or inn. Do they assist you with marketing these things and kind of, you know, boosting the attendance or anything like that?
Yeah, we've had some really great partnerships with towns. The town of Dorset is a fantastic partner for us. And also some local inns and, you know, partners that we've formed through that are really great at promoting our events and trying to bring people. And we are aiming not only to get people to come run our events, but also to come to Vermont as a tourist destination for running and stay in the hotels and go to the restaurants and, you know, really drive more tourism to the area through hosting these events. So we've had some fantastic partners in the towns and local businesses that are really helping us do that.
Mm. What have you found sort of being the main challenge to starting a business like this here in Vermont? I mean, we're a rural state, you know, kind of, you know, well, I won't say off the beaten track, but, you know, it's like, you know, we're far enough away from major metropolitan areas that it probably, you know, it's an effort to bring people here. Is the main challenge just kind of getting the word out to all the people who might be interested, or are there other issues that you've found as you've gone along that are more problematic?
I think there's a tremendous groundwork and infrastructure in Vermont for hospitality and for outdoor recreation businesses. And so we're so fortunate to have that and the trail network and the partnerships that Eliza mentioned with towns and partners like Merck Forest and Farmland Center, who have been amazing to work with on some of the races. That said, totally, part of the issue with having races and staging events in Vermont is that we're a smaller state. And we've got smaller parcels of land, and so that means working with more individual property owners. And I think that that move to looking at trail running and running as a destination activity to fill beds and to sell, you know, burgers and put bodies in you know, booths and restaurants. That's what our goal is, and we think that that's been something that might take some more time to catalyze, but we see some really promising signs.
So Vermont's a good place for that sort of thing. I guess outdoor recreation is one of our big selling points, I guess, kayaking, canoeing, hiking, biking, trail running. So what you're trying to do seems like it fits really neatly into all of that that marketing push by the state.
Yeah, part of the strange thing is that we are, I should say it's a good thing. We're working in mostly in the shoulder season. And so even if we're in kind of peak times, we manage to be away from holidays or more traditional. For instance, our snowshoe events don't really impact, you know, ski tourism. They're all kind of parallels. And so most of the runners that we bring in who are from out of state have actually never visited Vermont before. And we've had runners this year, for instance, at our BB Farm race in the autumn who have never seen foliage, and they weren't aware that they were in for foliage, and got a real pleasant surprise.
Wow.
So those are great experiences for us, and that's what we aim for.
Oh, that's amazing. So snowshoe running, tell me about that. I mean, I've never done one. What do most people who are like regular runners, you know, road runners, they do snowshoe running?
I would say it's a small, dedicated group who are really into it, and it is so much fun. I encourage you and everyone else who likes to run to definitely check it out. It's a great way to stay on the trails in the winter when otherwise you might be stuck if you really want to run and not hike, you know, being on the road. But with running snowshoes, and we have a partnership, our series sponsor for our snowshoe series is Dion Snowshoes, based down in Bennington. They okay. manufacture the snowshoes yeah. locally. And I think that everyone should try out a pair of Dion snowshoes. They are, if you've tried snowshoes before and you're imagining, you know, lumbering along with having to spread your legs really wide to be able to run in the snowshoes.
Yeah, I'm picturing these big wooden things that,
yeah.
you know, are hard to just sort of walk in.
Dion's are about this long and like this wide. So they really don't impact your gait when you're running. And you would be amazed how fast people can run on snowshoes. And it is so much fun. It is just the best winter activity, in my opinion, although I'm not a skier. So
it's great cross-training, and I think part of the virtue also of snowshoeing is there's literally zero learning curve.
I guess, you know, I was wondering, running a couple of years ago, it seemed like running had kind of peaked as a sport, you know, that there was this big, gigantic running boom that started back in the 1970s or 80s or whatever, and it kind of was going on and on and on for a long time. But, you know, I found myself wondering, or at least hearing that, you know, well, the number of runners is kind of like plateaued and it wasn't really a growing sport anymore. But clearly that's not been your experience.
No, I think the numbers bear out that we've actually just kind of passed the zenith of marathon participation and participation in shorter road races. But while that's happened, at the same time, participation in the ultramarathon distance events and in some shorter distance trail stuff has really increased exponentially. So I think what we hope to do is to capitalize on that trend that brings more people to, you know, any kind of running as our kind of whole mission brings us back to. And so that's, there are definitely slowdowns in certain parts of the industry. I think people are burnt out on certain kinds of road racing. I think the obstacle course racing has experienced a bunch of peaks and valleys, no pun intended. And you know, all those color runs and stuff like that have had kind of a mixed results throughout the years. But trail running is definitely here to stay, especially in New England. And we actually, in the ultra running world, have a new saying, the 200 miler is the new marathon. So they're going so long now that the increased popularity of longer distances has actually opened it up to more people, because you could go at a slower pace for more days. It makes it kind of an adventure.
Oh, okay. So I'm curious. So you're from Dorset originally. You left. You came back. What brought you back to Vermont?
I was living, I met Eliza in Northern California, and we spent every day that we could on the trails and lived in really rich and dense trail networks that were well established. Some of the oldest road races and trail races in the country are from kind of Eliza's hometown area. So she's lucky and spoiled to running, of course. But we had a lot more actually to offer, and I think seeing it through my wife's eyes was really important. We got to see Vermont anew, and the real catalyst was living in Portland, Oregon, where we were 20 minutes away from trailheads, an hour away from trailheads, and I found that availability of trails was totally lacking, and missed Vermont dearly, and couldn't resist its pull.
Oh, that's interesting. I would have thought out there it would have been trails and recreational opportunities like literally around any corner, but not so much, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I mean, in California, where we were living, there certainly are a lot, but I would say there are more here. This is absolutely the best place for running that I have ever lived or even visited.
Mm. So, the next big run that you've got going on then is what, the Ethan Allen one? Is that the first up?
Correct.
And then we go to the Dorset ones. What happens in the fall?
So in the fall, we've got a schedule that leads in with the BB Farm 48 Hour, and that's at the grounds of the Vermont Summer Festival, the Harold BB Farm in Dorset, Vermont. And we're up there, it's a 6, 12, 24, and 48 hour. So that kind of brings into play that whole two-day keep it moving thing. And that race this year will also include a certified marathon distance and certified 50K distance. And we'll be offering marathons Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, and Saturday evening. So pretty much any time that works in your schedule, you could run a Boston qualifier in Dorset, Vermont this year.
Hmm. Are there any, do you attempt to like sort of get, you know, some runners who let's say compete in the Boston Marathon or the New York Marathons? I mean, is that kind of how, I guess it must be sort of, you know, desirable from the standpoint of being race organizers to have someone, folks who are, you know, kind of not just having competed in those, but also finished pretty highly in them.
Yeah, there definitely is, you know, of course it makes a race more appealing when an elite runner comes and runs. And in fact, what we find is that people, if they see that a very fast time has been run on a course, even if they themselves, like me, are not, you know, I'm certainly not competing to win the Boston Marathon, but a lot of us look at results, and if we see that people are able to run a really fast time, it makes the race more appealing. So we certainly love, you know, to have when elite athletes come and run our events, and we've been fortunate enough to have some come at actually the BB Farm 48-hour race last year was won by a Canadian gentleman who has represented Canada for their national 24-hour team several times, as a former national champion, and he came down and ran just under 163 miles in 48 hours.
So what's the world record for that sort of thing?
So the world record for the 48 hour is 290 miles set by Yanis Koros, which seems like this should be something of the mythical era, but it's actually kind of in the modern age. I think it was 2005 or something like that. But yeah, it's appreciable.
Wow, what kind of training do you have to do for that sort of run? I mean, how many miles per week do you need to run to kind of feel like, well, you know, okay, I can do this?
I would say for an average person to just get out there and be able to stay out on the course, you know, for as long as they want and not really, you know, hit the wall or experience any major problems, you do not need to have crazy training. I did a 48-hour race on probably 40 miles a week of training, and it hurt, but I still made it over 100 miles. And for a lot of people, the 48-hour race on a you know flat loop like that is a good way to reach 100 miles, which is a pretty big milestone, so to speak, for runners. So I would, you know, I think that people should not be intimidated by the fact that the race lasts for so long and feel that they must be, you know, certainly you must have to run 200 miles a week to be able to do something like that. That's definitely not the case. It's really approachable for a lot of people on, you know, probably the training that you would do for a marathon.
Yeah, because I've always wondered when a few times I ran half marathons, or, you know, it's like you have this whole sort of program where, well, week one I'm going to do 10 miles, and week two I'm going to be running 20 miles, and I'd have to be up to running like 13 or 14 miles, you know, regularly in order to kind of feel like, okay, I can do this, but not so much, huh? That's good to know.
Yeah,
that sort of makes the because it sometimes felt like the real marathon was the training period rather than the actual race itself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, personally, we like to look at the race as the celebration of the training, and just especially with fixed time races, because you can stop at, you know, you could stop at your car at the aid station every single lap, and at BB Farm that's about 0.9 miles. So it's very low pressure, and that means that you know, hopefully people are just able to get out there and have fun. There are a lot of folks who walk most to all of the race. Our female winner at BB Farm last year actually is fully a pedestrian. She does not run. She only walks, and she made it, was it 130
yeah,
or so miles?
Correct.
Only walking. And so you definitely do not have to be a runner to go and have fun and even do very well at this kind of event.
So really anyone could do it, you know?
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter if you've been training like a maniac for months or not. All right. Well, great. Well, thank you very much for being on with us today and telling us about this. Sounds like a really exciting program of races you have coming up, and I'll see you out there at the Dorset one, the Dorset Hollow one. Already signed up for it, so.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Looking forward to it.
My pleasure. And thank you for being with us today as well. Hope you enjoyed the show, and get out there, get the running shoes on. The weather's great. Time for a good little road race. All right. Thanks again. We'll see you the next time. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.